This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me, we have Sharmila Ganesan. And at home, joining us is Arvind Yuvaraj. And today, it is Throwback Tuesday. And as you might have guessed from one of the great theme songs of our times, we are going to be throwing back to Wonder Woman in honour of the fact that we should all have been in cinemas enjoying Wonder Woman 1984, but unfortunately we have seen that release date getting postponed quite a bit. So instead we are going to be talking about, I guess, the most iconic iterations of this character from the 70s and then 40 years later, pretty much, in 2017.
So not very long, right? Yay, March for Equality. Okay, I'm not going to go there, not yet anyway. But I was so excited about that movie coming out this year. And I am very disappointed that we didn't get to see it as a summer release. Still keeping my fingers crossed that the October release that they've just announced doesn't get pushed back.
I'm hoping for the October release, but I also want it to be pushed as far as possible so that I don't have to decide if I want to go to the cinema or not. So that's my conflict. Come out whenever it's safe. I can wait for the movie. Mm-hmm. Even though I wanted to watch it 2 weeks ago, I can wait.
That is what Diana herself would have said.
So before we get into this, We've gotten embroiled in this conversation before about when it is that it will be safe to go back to the cinema, or when it is that we think the industry can really start reliably releasing things again on an uninterrupted schedule. But let's go to a time where it wouldn't have mattered if it was interrupted because it was on television. And that is in 1975, I believe. So it ran from 1975 to 1979. And that was Linda Carter's take on the character on television. And guys, I mean, like, if you are just going to have that to live on for 40 years, at least it's a great version.
I watched that as a kid. So that and The Incredible Hulk were two of my favorite weekly TV shows. I grew up in the early 90s, so I'm not sure why these were still on TV, but they were. And yes, when we look back now, there are all of those, things that were updated and fixed in the movie version. But it still holds up really well. Linda Carter is a great Wonder Woman. She has this, I mean, yes, she's beautiful. She looks great in the costume. But she has such a presence when she plays that role. And it's a small screen. It's not a film. So I have such fond, nostalgic memories of that show. And I think lots of people do, actually.
They used to show it on TV too. RTM2.
Yes,
I think that's why you knew it from the 90s. That's how I got to know it. But then, surprisingly, I didn't know about Linda Carter's Wonder Woman at first. I got to know Wonder Woman through the cartoons. Actually, when I was thinking about it, I was trying to figure out when I got to know Wonder Woman, and I can't remember a time when I didn't know Wonder Woman. Like, she's been one of the... It's the Trinity, right? It's Batman, Superman, mm-hmm. Wonder Woman. So I can't remember a time when I wasn't aware of Diana Prince. And it's, you know, after the cartoon, knowing that there was a live action series, I checked out some of the, I would watch it on TV2 or TV1 or wherever they used to show it. And it's weird how some of the things sort of stay the same now, like her powers and what she stands for and how she uses them. But then, you know, like you said, they have updated stuff to reflect like more modern themes, which is nice.
It is nice, but I also really appreciated what they were able to do in the 70s, because I think that it would be very easy to look back now that we have this big action blockbuster and look at the effects and go, oh, really? I mean, back in the day, the lasso of truth was really a rope.
Yes.
They didn't even add glitter or anything. It's just a rope. But there were lots of things about it that I really loved. I loved the way that she moved. I think that that was such a big thing in terms of selling that character, and you believing that she really was that strong and she really was that fearless, is actually watching the way Linda Carter moved through the world and the way that she fought, albeit in what feels now like slow motion. But even the transformation, for example, the iconic spin that she does to change from Diana Prince to Wonder Woman, is one of those great things where I know that it was done out of necessity, but when I look at it now, I'm just like, no, works. I love it.
No, and the show really leans into its comic book roots, right?
Yeah.
It's got the cheesy like sound effects. I mean, it doesn't quite go as far as the Batman pow thwack, you know, but it has that music, as like something is about to happen. The scene cuts are kind of comical.
Yes.
So it really does lean into that. When you see the villains, and inevitably it'll be like if another evil female nemesis, they'll have these like weird fights, which I'm not sure who choreographed and what they're inspired by, but are kind of cheesy, cool in their own way. And there's something quite fun about it. Like, comics have a fairly janky, cheesy start. And I think knowing that and still appreciating it is fun.
You know what always stuck out to me is that twirl that she did that you mentioned when she used to change from Diana Prince to Wonder Woman. Because at the same time, I used to watch this old Superman cartoon that I think came out in the 50s. It was black and white. And Clark Kent always used to have to find a phone booth.
Yeah.
And there had to be some sort of like phone booth around for him to change. And whenever I saw Wonder Woman do it, I'm like, isn't that easier? Like, don't you have powers to just spin around and become Superman? So it's one of the most convenient superhero transformations.
Gendered transformations, because men don't twirl. How can you make Superman twirl on screen? That's what it is.
Also, I think it was maybe to do, maybe Superman was just a more private person. Maybe he needed a smaller enclosed space, because with Wonder Woman, with Diana Prince, all she ever needed was sort of an empty basement or something, and this is good enough. Yeah, so there is definitely
Her costume is kind of just like easier to sort of get out and into. I think it's essentially just under her clothes. Spider-Man has those tights that he needs to, and then the cape he needs to attach. And yeah,
it's a whole thing.
Yeah, I can't believe we've gone down this path now.
But I was reading about how apparently the spin was actually something that Linda Carter herself came up with. And I think that is one of those nice ways in which when you hear about an actor being able to contribute something really iconic and really singular to the character that they then go on to play and embody for a time, it's just a nice story, because she has a background, I believe, in ballet, which is why the spin is a ballet spin. And you can see from the way that she fixes her eye on a certain point, it's the way ballerinas whip their heads. So it's just a nice one, because again, if you look back to the era, they kind of didn't really have a choice, right? Like, you needed to find some way to have an on-screen transition. You don't have the budget for whatever CG that they could have done at the time. The spin, a big ball of light, thunderclap, solve the problem.
Do you guys want to see? Oh, sorry. Go on.
No, you can go. That's fine.
No, I was going to ask, do you guys want to see one Linda Carter in the new movie? A warrior on Themyscira or something. And two, do you guys want to see the spin come back in Wonder Woman 1984?
So that was exactly what I was going to ask. I was like, do you think Gal Gadot will do the spin at some point?
The thing is, she could pull it off. I actually think that she could totally pull it off. So my answer to both questions is a resounding yes. Why not?
Agreed.
I don't know if I want to see like a giant lens flare come in as she does the spin. I don't know how they plan to do the light ball thing. But I would love it if they brought in some elements of that fun, cheesy comic book quality from the show into what would be a big, shiny blockbuster.
Yes. And I think that's something that we've also talked about in other contexts, about how DC lacks a little bit of that vivaciousness that you get in Marvel superhero movies. And I do think that Wonder Woman is one of those, much like Aquaman, where you could kind of toe that line without it becoming unbearable. Mm. Wonder Woman, and 1984, at least from its trailers, looks like it owns that.
I mean, with the colors alone, it looks like DC's Ragnarok.
Yes.
Which is fine, which is perfect.
Yeah, which is the hope. So we're going to have to wait for quite a while before we do actually get to watch the movie. When we do, we'll be back to review it. You know that for sure. But in the meantime, we've been talking about Linda Carter's take in the 1970s of the character of Wonder Woman. After this, we're going to leap ahead decades and talk about the movie that just came out a few years ago and that featured Patty Jenkins' take on Gal Gadot's take on Wonder Woman. So that's going to be coming your way. But let us know. I mean, is Wonder Woman a favorite of yours? Did you enjoy Linda Carter back in the day? WhatsApp us and let us know. 018-789-8899 is that number. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be right back on Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Dinah, we have to go.
We need to help these people.
We have to stay on mission.
The next safe crossing is at least a day away.
What are we waiting for?
We cannot leave without helping them. These people are dying. Nothing to eat, and in the village enslaved, she said.
I understand that.
Women,
we need
children.
To make our next position by
How can you say that? What is the matter with you?
This is no man's land, Diana. It means no man can cross it, all right? This battalion has been here for nearly a year, and they barely gained an inch. This is not something you can cross. It's not possible.
So what? So we do nothing?
No, we are doing something. We are. We just... We can't save everyone in this war. This is not what we came here to do.
No. But it's what I'm going to do.
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today we are throwing it back to Wonder Woman in all her glory because we know that we were supposed to get a new film, Wonder Woman 1984, and now that's been postponed to October. So we spoke earlier about the television show and now we're going to talk about her big screen debut.
Yeah.
And that was, of course, with Wonder Woman, now played by Gal Gadot.
And that was 3 years ago. It feels like a lifetime ago, honestly. And that says a lot because, well, to be fair, she was first in Batman versus Superman.
Yes, she was.
She was probably the best thing about Batman versus Superman. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the movie she owned. I feel like between then and now, we've only really had Captain Marvel, and I've really missed seeing a great female superhero on screen. And that's part of the reason why I think a lot of people were really excited about Wonder Woman 1984, because when Gal Gadot sort of burst onto the screens with this long, long awaited movie, there was so much excitement because, come on, guys, Wonder Woman.
I like that no one mentioned Justice League at all.
Oh, yes, there's the other one I repressed.
Yeah, so she's been there. It's just that, you know, whether or not she's in the right movie or not. But yeah, I mean, you know, when they first cast her as Wonder Woman, the amount of heat she got, the amount of flack she got, because, you know, just nerds being nerds, basically, you know, of whether she would be able to portray it. But I think with Patty Jenkins and the way that she sort of placed Gal Gadot in that movie and the freedom she gave Gal Gadot to do what she wanted to do, I don't think we could ask for like a better Wonder Woman, because she's perfect as the character. Whether or not she looks like the comic books or not is besides the point, right? But, you know, just portraying that person, that character, she is a really good Wonder Woman.
So I'm interested in what you just said, because is there a right or wrong Wonder Woman look? Because that was what was criticized a lot when she was cast.
Brown eyes.
Yeah. So other than dark hair, blue eyes, which was the iconic comic book look, I know that the classic drawing of filling out the suit was important to a lot of the you know, more unsavory fans. But how do we judge how someone suits the look of a character, especially someone that's as iconic as Wonder Woman?
God, you know, I struggle with this a lot because I think that comic books in particular do that. when you have a character who's not only very clearly described, but actually clearly drawn over and over and over again over the course of decades, then I find it hard to blame people when they say, no, but she doesn't look right. Because there is actually a model for how somebody is supposed to look. And it, I mean, if we're going to get into this, then this was also Stan Lee's argument against having a black Peter Parker. You know, he said he's always said Spider-Man can be black, doesn't matter. But Peter Parker, the character, is not. So I struggle with this, and I wouldn't be so quick necessarily to dismiss people who maybe have grown up reading comic books and who have a very set idea and, you know, dismiss their feelings about it. Because I think a comic book character, there are different criteria to fill. Even though I also don't think that you then have to go ham and start criticizing left, right, center.
Yeah. And then we see the, speaking of looks, right? We, in 1984, we were supposed to see her new uniform. So that also, when we talked about Linda Carter earlier, I had forgotten what the old uniform looked like.
Yeah.
Because when they redesigned it for the 2000, well, I suppose she wore it first in Batman versus Superman. I love the new take on what she looks like. And I think all of this is part of the evolution of Wonder Woman, right? Because you can't make that Wonder Woman today and not run into huge problems in terms of either ideas of this rah-rah Americanness that, I mean, when Linda Carter puts the costume on, they literally say, this stands for democracy.
Yes.
which wouldn't fly in today's world, but also this sense of what does a female superhero look like? She's not just there to be a pinup anymore. She actually needs to be able to fight in that thing.
Yeah. How would you guys describe the movie that she was in, the one in 2017, her solo movie? Because I've heard a lot of people call it fun. And it's sort of like, you know, it's different from all the other DC movies that came out before. I don't know if it's fun. Like Captain Marvel is fun. Wonder Woman has a lot of substance and it is very heavy. It's still dark in a DC sort of way. So I'm always curious to know, like, when you watch that movie, would you call it fun, or would it still fall in line with what DC has been doing so far? Obviously, they've changed their color palette since, but, you know, is it still a fun movie?
It's really interesting to me that you bring in Captain Marvel into this, because I actually think that Wonder Woman is more fun than Captain Marvel, and that comes down to the character herself. So the movie itself, yes, you're right. I mean, it's in the rise of fascism and all that, but she is new to the world of men, new to the world of us. And so that gives her that Thor-esque, you know, fish out of water thing that's quite fun to play. And just like you mentioned Ragnarok earlier, just like with the character of Thor, there is this real naivete and earnest that comes with Wonder Woman, especially in the early days where she doesn't really know what she's doing. She's super, super strong, but she's also a real Girl Scout character. You know, she's just sunny and bubbly and bright, and she's going to speak her mind. And so I think that, you know, yes, I'm going to storm a church tower, but also after that, I'm going to make fun of people dancing. I think that stuff makes it fun, even if the color palette and the DC-ness is still, you know, pervading the story.
I'd also say that Chris Pine makes the film fun.
Yeah,
for sure. He was a huge reason. He was her foil, and he adds a lot of so he is literally us looking at her for the first time. And that camaraderie and the humor, it's really fun, and that lifts it above, I think, the previous DC outings. But his character is also the reason why, as much as I enjoyed Wonder Woman, I found it slightly lacking in terms of what it could have been, because I felt like at the end it goes back to, without giving away how the movie ends, the movie, unlike Captain Marvel, ends up becoming another story of a woman that was catalyzed in her journey by the man she met and fell in love with. And I thought that was a little bit of a cop-out in a film that, other than that, was doing so well in terms of introducing this character to us.
I mean, it basically saved the DCU or DCEU or DCCU or whatever they were calling it. You know, I mean, without Wonder Woman, they would have had to reboot that whole thing. The only reason the only reason they sort of retcon instead of reboot is because they cannot recast Gal Gadot because of how successful the movie is. You know, they've thrown Ben Affleck to the side. They've sort of Henry Cavill, they're like, there can be a new Superman. But because of how successful Patty Jenkins' Wonder Woman was, they had to sort of stick to the same timeline. and tell different stories like this is Aquaman, but it's not that Aquaman, it's a different Aquaman, but it's played by the same person. All because of what Patty Jenkins did with Gal Gadot for this movie.
There are things about it. So it's not a perfect film. I think at the time when it came out, everybody was so carried away and so elated at the idea that the movie even existed and that it was finally good that it papered over, I think, a number of criticisms that could otherwise be made, because rewatching it in preparation for talking about it today, I did find moments of eye-rolliness. I did find moments of, okay, sure, yeah, all right. And that mostly came in, like, what you were talking about, Sharmila. I think the way the story was told in some ways was very simplistic, and it's comic booky in that sense, but not comic booky in other sensibilities. So that unevenness showed. But the action worked up until the final third, when I think it just went full comic book. And she is just so good. She's just so natural in the role. You want to see more of her. You want to see more of her and Steve Trevor. And so that chemistry together is what makes it, I think, just a very charming film. And that scene where she goes, there's a scene where she kind of takes charge in a moment of war. Until now, I know it's cheesy. I know exactly what it's doing. They're shooting the dog in front of me. I get it. I'll still cry.
No, that's a great scene. It's a great, great scene. And I think it cannot be discounted how without a Wonder Woman, we probably wouldn't have seen a Captain Marvel in the form that we did.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, in and of itself, as a sentiment, is a crazy thing to say. I agree with you, but it shouldn't be the case.
Mm. One last question. Do you guys like the Wonder Woman soundtrack, the theme?
Oh, the theme.
The theme.
You know, I have to say it didn't leave a huge mark on me. I when you say Wonder Woman theme, what comes to mind is the one we played, Linda Carter's. The new one doesn't come to mind for me.
We were fine. it was fine to begin with. Okay, we are kind of running out of time, but we have been spending our Throwback Tuesday looking back to Wonder Women, both Linda Carter back in the 70s as well as Gal Gadot in 2017. I'm not going to ask you to pick a favorite because that's a silly question, but do you enjoy Wonder Woman as a character? Did you enjoy both or all four? If we wanted to stretch it to everybody who's ever played it, then there's a bit more. But, you know, what do you think of the women who have really made it their own? Let us know. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can write to us at movies@bfm.my. And as always, if you're kind of just looking for updates and fun stuff, you can find us at BFM Popcorn. We are on both Twitter and Instagram. You've been listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.